Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Jurors, what's up, y'all? Listen, y'all loved last week's best of so much that we're going to give you just a few more to close out the end of season two of Holding Court. Listen, this week we are revisiting a few more marriage and divorce headlines from the season because y'all know that information always bears repeating. So without further ado, let's get into it.
All right. So Drew Sidora has definitely filed for divorce from her husband, Ralph Pittman. This is out of Real Housewives of Atlanta News. We know that the first part of that headline read differently. And
yes.
People were up in arms.
Yeah.
Because the People magazine article said that Ralph filed for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And that was real messy. So we'll get to that. And really why that's important for you. If you are listening, jurors, and you are thinking about contemplating divorce, we're going to zoom out on that one.
Right.
All right, let's start with Drew Sidora and Ralph with this messy divorce. So let's talk about divorce filing.
Yes.
Number one question, does it matter who files first? The answer is it can. Now, I'm going to go through these facts for Drew and Ralph. And the answer around their filing order is it's not going to matter much at all because it was so close in time.
Oh, okay.
You know, why? Okay. You know, it's cute and it's maybe, you know, social media fodder to talk about, oh, she filed a whole 61 minutes earlier, you know, so she filed first and they was running to the courthouse and the race memes and all that shit. But essentially, for a court's perspective, they filed at the same time.
Okay.
Because they literally filed at the same courthouse. On the same day. Within the same afternoon,
mm-hmm.
Gwinnett County, shout out to them in Georgia. So that's important. So they both filed within that afternoon on the 27th of February. Drew is saying many things. Ralph is saying this. They separated on the 19th. It looks like that's something they don't disagree upon. Ralph wants joint physical and legal custody. Those are two different things, by the way. Break it down real quick. Physical, of course, is what it sounds like, who the children are staying with,
okay.
Living with. Legal custody is stuff, Dustin, that lets you decide where they go to school. The decisions.
The decision-making.
The decision-making. Okay. So he wants joint for both. Fine. I don't see that being a problem. And they got two kids, 7 and 5 years old. Ralph says that Drew makes enough money from her TV show job to not need spousal support. I'm sure that's true. He does say that she's rolling in the Bravo dough, but claims that she hasn't made any financial contributions to their household throughout the majority of their partnership. Okay.
How were they living?
Because do you know what Ralph does?
Cheat.
Ooh.
How were they, allegedly?
Allegedly. Yeah, I don't, okay. That one doesn't, the math not mathing on that. Ralph says he wants to maintain occupancy of his ownership, rather, of his Porsche and his 2018 Cadillac. And then he wants, of course, Drew to take responsibility for her 2021 Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That all sounds standard, I will say, generally speaking. Now, let's talk about what Ms. Sidora is saying. It's just funny to me that my mama calls her Drusilla. And if you know that
from
reference
from the stories.
From Young and the Restless.
Yes, from the stories.
I said, Mama, that woman's name is not Drusilla. Her name is Drew Sidora.
Yes.
She's like, girl, you know what Drusilla.
Wasn't that Victoria Rowell's character?
You know, mm-hmm. That was the legendary.
Yeah, Victoria Rowell. Yes, ma'am.
And now mama done brought it back to life. Talking about she Drusilla Sidora.
Drusilla, okay.
Okay, anyway, shout out to Mama Gloria.
Yes.
Drew has said in her filing that Ralph is a serial cheater. This mm-hmm. is her allegation. And an adulterer who has, this is my favorite sentence in the whole filing, allowed his multiple paramours to have direct contact and to flaunt his affairs. She's talking about them being able to DM her
mm-hmm.
and just essentially playing her face
rubbing
about
her face.
Husband.
Your man's in my messages.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
Stuff.
And sending, you know, all kind of pictures, we'll say. Okay, Drew also alleges that while married, she was considering to file a temporary protective order. Huh. And take the children to Chicago where they could feel safe. So that's a different kind of allegation. Mm. Okay. But again, not uncommon, y'all. When people start talking about divorce and custody and support, it's not uncommon to start seeing these domestic, these undertones, mm-hmm. right? Because this, now personally, I don't like this kind of thing in a filing. Because to me, it's like Monique say you're playing and get off the school,
yeah,
y'all.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Keep it on the playground, rather.
What happened?
I don't really want to hear about, I almost filed a this mm-hmm. and I almost felt unsafe. Either you felt unsafe and this is what you did about it, or keep it on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go. Drew also alleges that Ralph was financially abusive. That part seems believable to me.
Very much so.
Throughout their marriage, and that he recently withdrew a large sum of money from her bank account, is the way it's phrased in the complaint. The two have been married since 2014, so almost a 10-year marriage there, and they, again, have those two children. Reactions before we get to the zoom out.
Not surprising if you watch The Real Housewives of Atlanta, the season. She came on in season 13. Mm-hmm. So if you've been watching since then, it's not surprising. Their marriage has had all sorts of problems and things happening that were questionable.
Since we met them as a couple.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised. I just, to see it get to this point, because to me, this is like nasty at this point.
Already. Yeah.
From season one, I already told you I wouldn't be involved in no shit like, you know,
that was episode one, season one. Keep it playing.
So I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I hate to see another black family going down the tubes, you know. You know, I'm trying to find something, Ebony.
Yeah, that hit heavy. I just had this glimpse of Mary J. You know, I'm going down. Ooh, okay, wow, shit.
Because Ralph ain't around.
Yeah, because okay. Ralph ain't around.
He in Tampa. Didn't he go to Tampa that season?
And we still don't know what happened in Tampa.
Ain't too much to do
in Tampa.
Outside of going to the game, you go be on the pirate ship at the football game.
Justin, stop. Okay, so zooming out. In normal circumstances, who files for divorce first can matter.
Okay.
And let me tell you how. The person that files first, and when I'm saying files first, I'm not talking about this little petty shit they do in 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about I filed a month ago mm-hmm. or I filed 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. So if there's somebody that files first, they get the following in their advantage. They have a choice of which court and location. So if I'm filing and we're married, Dustin, and I decide I'm going to file first, and, you know, I'm just making this up. Let's say you live in, Manhattan, and I need to file in Staten Island because that's mm-hmm. why I've taken out two children to feel safe and refuge. Mm-hmm. I can do that. Mm-hmm. And now I've compelled you to have to come to Staten mm-hmm. Island to fight this litigation with me.
It establishes
jurisdiction.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly
okay.
right. It can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, and I think this is the most important part of filing first, it also establishes positioning. Mm. When you file first, you are considered the petitioner
mm.
and the person that responds, because literally they are now the respondent
to what you filed.
Now, that probably will apply to Drew and Ralph. It's just going to apply in a very semantics kind of way.
Okay.
Because it was, but again, more when there's more space in between the filing, that can matter. Not that it should, right? Like, it shouldn't matter if you're a petitioner or a respondent. Your facts are your facts. Your arguments are your arguments. But there's something to be said for drawing first blood.
I totally get that.
You know what I mean?
It communicates something.
It communicates something. And there's already it's a reason why they do a coin toss mm-hmm. in sports events.
Right. Who's going first?
Who hits the field first?
Yeah.
Who's able to put points on the board first can matter.
Mm-hmm.
Hate to break it to y'all. Okay, so the establishing of petitioner versus respondent is something that you get when you file first. You get to be the petitioner. You also get to control the timing, so to speak, to some extent, because you are initiating jurisdiction. You are initiating the timeline. So there's just more control that you get when you file first. This is another one. You get the first chance to file all those temporary orders. And a lot of times they come alongside the filing for the divorce in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I'm filing for divorce. Oh, and I'm also, by the way, y'all, under asking for temporary spousal support, custody of the children, child support temporarily, protective orders, as Drew kind of played with, looks like in this complaint.
Yeah.
All of that, the freezing of joint funds.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is under your purview when you file first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the respondent has to respond to those requests.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really about positioning.
And the big one is what I said, the ability to draw first blood in all hearings and trial.
Mm-hmm.
You will go first. Just like in a criminal case, the district, the state, the prosecutor, they get to go first, and the defendant is put in the position of defending,
yes,
responding, secondary.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about.
Okay.
Now, from the Dustin Ross School of Keeping It Player, what you can be, jurors, is like Auntie E and her ex-husband,
mm-hmm,
who really kept it player. And we did something called filing jointly.
Mm.
A lot of people, we don't hear much about this. But if it's truly amicable, you can save yourselves a lot of time and a whole lot of money,
mm-hmm,
by filing jointly.
Mm-hmm.
One joint proceeding, one joint filing, one joint order of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-husband and I were in and out in 6 months. I never even saw the inside of a courtroom.
That's the way it should be.
Yep. Well, we was both broken when they have shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that did make it easy. And we, mm-hmm, didn't have any children and we didn't own any property. So if you're in that type of situation, and even if you do have a little something, if y'all can come to those terms on your own,
mm-hmm,
and say, Your Honor, we have decided this is irrevocably broken. We have decided she gonna keep that. I'm gonna keep this.
Mm-hmm.
The children gonna do this. And this is what we've agreed to. Sign on the dotted line. File that fucking clerk stamp.
Yep.
And keep it cute.
Yep. I love that.
Yeah.
Because all this messy back and forth, nastiness, details being shared.
I don't like a almost. Don't tell me that you thought about filing for a protective order.
Right.
Tell me you did or you did not, or keep it out of my courtroom.
Yeah.
Wait till this judge Ebony.
Oh, I can't wait, baby. I cannot wait.
Ma'am.
I can see and hear you right now in my head presiding.
Presiding.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. All rise.
Okay.
So that's there for them too. So listen, jurors, if you or someone you know and love, sound like a personal injury lawyer, are considering, call 1-800 joint filing. No. really, really think about the joint filing option if you can.
Yeah.
It really is an ideal way to go, I would say. And if it's contested, which happens more often than not, you might want to go ahead and get to the courthouse on time.
Yep.
Go on and get down there and establish that positioning.
Because otherwise,
you're going to be a respondent.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not the end of the world for Ralph or anybody that files second. It's just the ladies that wear pink and green say it's one rule.
Mm.
Be first, never second.
Mm. You better talk your AKA shit, Ebony.
I got my 08 sweatshirt.
You got the colors on, baby.
Shout out to So Fresh and Greek.
Immerse yourself in the fascinating tale of Song of Solomon by the legendary Pulitzer Prize-winning author Toni Morrison. It's a mesmerizing coming-of-age masterpiece, and it's captivated readers all around the world. Follow the protagonist, Milkman Dead. He's born shortly after a neighborhood eccentric hurled himself off a roof in a vain attempt at flight. And for the rest of his life, Milkman too will be trying to fly. As Morrison follows Milkman on a quest to uncover his roots and himself in his Rust Belt hometown to the place of his family's origins, she introduces an entire cast of strivers, seeresses, liars, and assassins, the inhabitants of a fully realized black world. As the New Yorker put it, Morrison moves easily in and out of the lives and the thoughts of her characters, luxuriating in the diversity of circumstances and personality. Whether you're a seasoned reader or new to Toni Morrison, Song of Solomon is a must-read, and it will ignite your imagination and leave you wanting to read much more Morrison. Song of Solomon, a timeless tale that will stay with you long after you've turned its final page. Available now at tonimorrison.com and wherever books are sold.
I hope to make this the last time we discuss this particular situation on Holding Court. But
I don't fuck with Ray J.
Well, you know, let's tell me why.
Because I feel like Ray J is a snake. I feel like he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He plays this likable personality,
mm-hmm,
you know, as much as you can like a person when you know as many things as you know about Ray J and the choices that he's made, mm-hmm, right? But he, like I said, he plays to the camera. He plays up this, you know, likable guy next door personality.
Brandy's little brother.
Right.
You're still Brandy's little
brother. Brandy's little brother.
You big 40-some-year-old motherfucker. Still
and
Brandy's little brother.
He is right in bed with them Trumps and all of that, the Trumps, Kanye West.
Say it.
These white nationalists.
Say it.
Figures, that talking heads that they've attached themselves to. He is right in bed with all of them, right down there at Mar-a-Lago, right in all the dinners. There's photographic evidence of all of
this. He's hiding in plain sight.
Yes.
He's right there.
And
no
one is holding him accountable. No one in the culture really is holding him accountable. We are over here.
We are over here. I'm so glad you said it first. Because I was going to get to it, but I love that you brought it up. You took first blood on that, because Ray J is playing in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd Mayweather, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Ray J specifically, because I agree with you, I think the culture is more scrutinizing of Floyd around other issues. Mm-hmm. I think with Ray J, he does get this bubble protection. Mm-hmm. And I really do think it's as simple as him being Brandy's little brother.
Me too, because who wants to be mean to Brandy? We don't want to be mean.
We love her so much.
She matters to us.
She is important to the culture.
Yes.
But our first black Cinderella, mm-hmm. she's just so many things. But Ray J is not Brandy.
Mm-mm.
And that's an important distinction. And he is down there in Mar-a-Lago. He is up in Trump's face. I believe we'll actually see him on this campaign trail.
I do, too. And it's going to be, I hope we do, though. I hope we do see him on the campaign trail.
You know, I just had a thought. You know, so I was also covering this on The Grill with Ebony K. Williams. You can find that at 6 p.m. Check your local listings.
How about that?
We're talking about how Isaac Hayes III and the estate are suing Trump, mm-hmm. or they might be having to sue Trump for playing his daddy's song, mm-hmm. Hold On, I'm Coming. Mm-hmm. I got a solution for Trump. Don't even worry about it. Go ahead and start playing One Wish. Go ahead and play One Wish. If I had one wish, it would be back in the White House.
You know
what
my one wish would be? Never. I'm not going
to
say that.
You know what?
Be quiet. But
you
yes.
need to go ahead and start playing that One Wish. And don't worry about it.
Wow. Well, it's just so, like I said, that for me, you're 100% right. You know? I just, for me, like, Ray J has lost all credibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying
attention, if you're paying attention to how Ray J is moving, it's actually a problem. But you know what? I believe that it will. When you let things play out, Dustin, it all come to the light. Mm-hmm. He gonna do it to himself.
He's not smart. Mm-hmm. Ray J's had some business success. You know, some of his products have sold. You know, good for him.
Even that, I'm looking at. Like, I love business success for black people. I would need to see the book.
I would too, because I don't believe
that's
it.
What I'm saying.
There's no trust. Like, yeah, So
now, his current legal issue that we're discussing, hopefully for the last time on Holding Court today, is a family court matter. Mm-hmm. They've been going back and forth around separation and divorce. It feels like since they got married,
since they were introduced to us.
Yes, she's a very cute young lady. Can you tell me what she did? Was she a model?
I'm not sure what she did. I only know of her
in this context of her being with Ray J.
Exactly.
Okay.
Same. I'm not minimizing her.
I was curious.
Yeah,
I don't be knowing.
Yeah.
So Ray J and Princess Love have been going back and forth around this marriage. It seems they have finally decided to officially and legally divorce. So as we've talked about in Holding Court before, one of the ideal, best, quickest, cheapest ways to secure a legal divorce is through a mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me tell you the benefits. Number one, you and your estranged spouse share a legal representative.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key benefit. So you're not paying two lawyers, you're paying mm-hmm. one. Ideally. And that one legal individual is hired to remain objective for both people and help you split up all the things. Your home, your equity, your pensions, if that's at play, child custody, support, division of property, etc. Mediation allows there to be one fee around that. It allows you to come up with what we call a consent decree,
mm-hmm.
a consent where parties are in agreement around mm-hmm. this is what we agree to do. I'm not saying this is easy. It sounds kind of clear cut and simple. Sometimes mediations can take 3 months to a year
mm-hmm.
just trying to hammer out what that agreement could look like.
Absolutely.
But I would contest, Dustin Ross, that it is well worth it if you can make it happen under that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't, which Ray J and Princess Love apparently have not been able to do after many, many months of trying to do a mediation, they failed. They're conceding that they cannot come to terms in a mediation. So now they have to do what? Go to trial.
Take that shit to trial.
Take it to trial. And that's literal litigation.
Damn.
So now that's two lawyers. That is a million settings in court. So it's not just one day. This is pretrial. This is testimony. This, rebuttal. all this shit. And so now we're talking about probably millions of dollars for this divorce.
Do you just think they're trying to see who's going to break first?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what I was going to say. Now, the other side of that is I'm not saying just make any deal work in mediation for the sake of making a deal. Mm-mm. There is a scenario where your estranged spouse is being so unwilling to make a reasonable mediation agreement that you have no choice but to go to trial. And then, to your point, typically what happens is a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Right before we go to court.
Let's talk.
Uh-huh.
You know the game. And uh-huh. That's exactly what it's going to play. Because you can't tell me that if they go to trial, after all of the shit that we saw on Love and Hip Hop from him.
These depositions.
All the footage. We literally have footage of him, you know, pushing her in a pool, like all kinds of stuff.
It's a mess. She claims prostitution that he was using. It's just, that is not a deposition that Ray J ever wants to come to the light of day. And that all becomes public domain the minute you go to litigation. The minute.
Princess, stay strong, baby, and just sit this one out, ride it out. But lawyer up and ride this out.
Lawyer up, ride it out, let it play out. I do want to say this, and this is not about Princess Love in particular, but the one thing, like you said, when I was literally introduced to who this woman was, it was actually on her wedding day. Mm-hmm. It was the wedding photo, because I'm not really a Love and Hip Hop person. So I didn't know anything about their backstory, but I knew that he was getting married, and I saw this gorgeous woman in this gorgeous dress. I will never forget her dress. I actually remember this dress very specifically. It is from the Lazaro Bridal Collection. Mm-hmm. You can probably get it at Kleinfeld's right now.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Kleinfeld.
Yeah, but it was a very beautiful, timeless dress. And again, this is not about Princess Love specifically, because I don't know anything about this young lady other than she is beautiful.
Yes.
But I just want to say this to all of our jurors. Some of y'all say you want to be married. You maybe think you want to be married. Some of y'all want the pictures. Some of y'all want the dress. Some of y'all want your Kleinfeld's moment. Maybe you want the ring. Maybe you want a beautiful cake. I don't say that from a place of judgment. I say that from a place of experience. On some level, if I'm being very honest with myself, Dustin Ross, I think that is what led me down the aisle the first time I got married. Mm-hmm. But let me tell y'all something, especially you younger jurors out there. Once you post the pictures on Instagram, and during my day it was Facebook, tell you how old my ass is, and you get your likes and you get your comments and you get your DMs telling you how beautiful you look and how wonderful it is. Mm-hmm. Shortly after that, it's just going to be you and that motherfucker every day, waking up, doing life, and going to sleep. I say this to say, do you want to be married? Do you seek marriage and all that comes with it, which can be a very beautiful thing, but almost by every account I've ever heard is a deeply challenging thing? And getting out of a marriage, Dustin Ross, is almost always a nightmare. So just think long and hard. Do you want marriage or do you want a wedding?
Yeah.
Because we live in an exceptional time. We live in a time, I still got my wedding dress from second marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, my second planned wedding. Mm-hmm. It's right down from Riverside at the storage. Mm-hmm. And it's a gorgeous, who made this one? My first one was a gorgeous, I've always had an eye.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. My first gown was a stunning blue label Amsale. Shout out to Amsale. She's a beautiful African designer who passed not too long ago. That dress was gorgeous. I would wear that dress again. I picked a dress that was timeless. My second one, also timeless. This one is Ream Acra.
Oh, yes. Love Ream Acra. Great
raw
choices.
Raw silk.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Let me tell you something. In a minute, don't be surprised when you come to your friend's birthday party.
And you got the damn dress
on. And I got that motherfucking dress on.
A celebration
is
a celebration.
Look at Ashley looked up, but Ashley laughing because she's no, I'm very serious.
A celebration is a celebration.
It's a white dress, and I paid for it. Well, actually, truth be told, you know the tea?
Mm-hmm.
He paid for it.
As he should have.
As he should have.
Period.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Parting gift.
Mm-hmm.
But I might have that motherfucker on.
And I don't
want to hear shit.
Why not? Just get it cut up in the front so it's short in the front.
Yeah,
long
high,
in the
high low, uh-huh. like my Oscar de la Renta uh-huh, down uh-huh. in Bravo.
Yep, yes, Ebony.
To show
there you go.
Shoes off.
There you go.
Matter of fact,
and we
the
on.
Shoes I wore to BravoCon,
were the
shout out to
shoes?
Aquazura, are the wedding shoes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They were beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be beautiful again when I wear it with this
they
motherfucker.
They sure will. They sure will. Yeah, but I mean, that's the whole point of what we're talking about.
Right.
It's more than just a day. It's more than just a ceremony.
Yes.
And oftentimes, you fuck around and find out. You end up in the same situation as Princess Love.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. You know, I'm not saying she didn't, you know, love Ray J with all her heart and want that marriage to work. I'm certain that she did.
They have children together.
Yeah, but I'm just, this is just more broader. I'm zooming out.
Mm-hmm. We love that.
Yeah.
Zoom out.
What is it that you're really seeking? Because especially in this Instagram era, Dustin, it is easy to get to a place. Like, here's one thing I've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed this too. Like, you got your show on Revolt, Bet on Black. I got the Grill. You know, we have these milestones in life, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody could buy a house. Somebody could, you know, survive cancer. Mm-hmm. Somebody could do whatever. But nothing on social media ever gets the likes, comments, and feedback that engagements, weddings, and baby announcements
make.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing.
I could cure cancer,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be like, "That's nice, bitch."
They
but when it
right
rained,
by. Yeah. But if you got engaged, Ebony Lee Caitlin is engaged. Listen. Photos. Oh my
oh
god!
Oh my god!
The buzz, isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Telling too.
Telling. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah. Before you walk
about.
Down that,
you jump the broom,
make sure you sweep around your own front door.
And get in them corners.
Okay.
Get that angle brush.
Okay.
You better get that angle.
And lift it up. And get in there, okay?
Listen, get the cobwebs out.
That's what you got to do.
Kim Zolciak and Croy Bierman. You know, we don't do a lot of stories that center whiteness on this show.
I thought you said white mess. It's a white mess. I thought you because that's what this is.
This is a white mess.
For real. And am I entertained? Absolutely.
Highly.
Go ahead.
So Kim and Croy, not white mess. Oh God, I'm gonna see if we can get away with naming this episode white mess. Probably not, but I'm gonna try it anyway. So Kim and Croy, breaking news, are not gonna work out. I think many of us, I at least saw this coming for sure.
When she was first commenting about his rear end on the show,
I remember
back
from
in
that
season
dance,
four.
Dance competition. Yeah. I said, when this cash flow run out, baby,
so is she.
Kim is out the door.
We saw the writing on the wall. I remember in this, and then we'll get to the story because I ain't trying to interrupt your flow.
Mm-mm.
But I remember in that season four reunion when Andy asked Kim, I feel like you guys are spending all your money. He said that to her.
He sure did.
He said it to her back then.
Yes.
So there is
that was season four. They're on like 15 now, right? Woo, baby. So y'all remember he was a long time ago an NFL linebacker, Croy Bierman. I think he played for the Falcons for a minute.
Yeah.
Anyways, he admitted him and Kim are now going through a divorce. It's very public. Now, Croy admitted that he is staying under the same roof as his estranged wife, Kim Zolciak, because he's too financially strapped to live elsewhere. And I believe that.
Honest.
Yeah. Now, let's move on. The couple, I think they have both on different occasions called the police several times during volatile disputes that have happened in front of their children. They got a bunch. What, they got six between the two of them?
Four together, and then she had two daughters previously that he adopted.
Oh, he did adopt those two young, and they're grown women now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they do still have like four that are school age.
School age, under 10, four under 10.
Yeah, that's a lot. Like that's young. The police report also shows how the estranged couple seems to either be struggling to survive, or they are engaged in penny-pinching brawls. So what the cops at least are doing here, which is interesting, is they are...
It's not funny.
It's not funny,
penny-pinching brawls is funny.
That's a funny phrase, right. Essentially, law enforcement is saying in the police reports, because this must be what they are getting from Kim and Croy.
For sure.
That the fighting, the violence... And that part's serious, right? Is a result of the cash strap situation. And by the way, that's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another reason I need the owner. Anyways.
They're going to learn.
I'm
going to
keep it about them right now. But here we go. Some of us, No, because we know.
Damn. But go ahead.
Because when you've seen like I've seen. Let me get it back over here to the white mess. that these penny pinching brawls are around one of them wanting to liquidate certain assets, one of them not. All of this shit, all of it's going to be, of course, handled in divorce court soon. But they are really literally fighting hand over fist around how to divvy up these little bit of assets they got left. It's very sad. Police also responded to their Milton, Georgia home on May 4th after the Real Housewives of Atlanta star called 911 to report. Oh, this is a damn shame. To report that Croy had taken her designer purses and pieces of jewelry. She estimates the worth of those items to be $175,000, along with her passport, and locked them all inside of the basement of the home. Now, this is a separate report. I know I saw that Kim was online, and I think this was verified, that she was selling some of her more popular wigs for like $2,500 a piece. The responding officer had this to say in the report. This is what the officer said, y'all. I met with Croy, who stated that he believed that the purses and jewelry were marital property. He might have a point there. Put a pin in it. Croy explained that he took several purses because he planned to liquidate them to help offset some of the debt. Radar Online first responded that Kim and Croy filed dueling divorce petitions, so similar to Drew and...
Yeah, when they was racing to the courthouse.
They had to race Drew and... Yep. What's his name?
Ralph.
Trezvant. No, just playing. Not Trezvant.
Because it's sensitivity. Okay.
Don't even get me started on that, man. Because, you know, I knew him in L.A. before... Tony,
we'll talk.
Wait till these mics go down. Anyway, filed dueling divorce petitions on May 8th, asking the court to award, they both want primary custody of their four minor children, and they both want child support, and they both want spousal support. So this is a situation where so much to say. I'm going to start with this. Kim called herself, I believe, I don't know Kim, but I believe that she really thought she was marrying up. I believe she thought she was marrying someone who would be the dominant financial provider. Only to find out, now I don't know why she would think such a thing, because we all know they call it the NFL for a reason. We all know it's not for long.
Not for long.
And to be fair, Croy had a longer, much longer career than most.
Yep.
But when you are... Here's what we also know about money and wealth at our big ages, Dustin. It's not even about how much income you're bringing in, because they both separately made plenty of money. And they certainly made plenty of money together. I was talking about this to Mama Glory because she was so confused. She's like, because I know she made money on Tardy for the Party.
Her spinoff on Bravo that went eight seasons, I believe.
Yes, I was going to say. So even if we lowball that, let's just lowball it and say she only made $650 a season. Eight seasons, and then I know she was. I know you left Atlanta Housewives making close to $1 million. Like Kim has made no less than $4 million, like minimum, probably more. And that's just reality TV checks. That's not. I think she was on Dancing with the Stars or some whatever.
Right.
Y'all should see Dustin's face right now. He's giving it nothing.
Just, okay. You know, but anyway.
But you know, just if we're just there doing
there have
the
been
accounting.
Opportunities for her to. Be in a better financial position than she's in.
Okay. To say it mildly,
that's
right?
It. Yeah.
I'm just going to say, like, you made at least $4 million by my eyeball test. Minimum. Croy, you probably made 25 at least, you know? So between the two of y'all, we're talking about at least $30 million between the two of you. Probably much more. So my mother's question is, how in the world are they broke now? But to your point, let's go back season four when Andy Cohen says y'all are it don't matter how much you make. It matters how much you spend.
That's right.
So when you are trying to spend on par with, and a lot of NFL players do this, you are second string, maybe third string. You might, whatever. But you're trying to spend like Lamar Jackson.
It's not balanced. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
You're trying
it's not
to
gonna
spend,
work.
You're spending like, you know, what's your boy? Jalen Hurts, you know,
right,
you're spending like you're making $200 million on your contract when your contract might be $6 million with, you know, a nine back end if you don't get hurt. So that's the problem. Kim really thought that she, and some women do this. I think Gabrielle Union would say that she did this in her first marriage,
where you give married to, and he also was an NFL player.
Right, right.
You give married to these men, presuming that they are going to be the financial provider and that you will get to play the part of dependent, excuse me. I did say defendant. That was Freudian slip.
Well, I mean,
you're going to become a defendant in a minute.
That's about to say.
Around and became a defendant. Yeah. First you was a dependent and now you're a defendant.
Yeah, well, you're going to be wearing Depends once they get through the shit you going through. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is crazy.
No, but this is something that I'm talking to the women right now, Dustin. Y'all need to really look at this. For all of the jokes and laughter, this
right.
is a serious issue. Because
yeah.
women that make some money, and some significant money, you marry men that you think are so far ahead of you financially when they're really not that mm-hmm. far, if at any, and then you end up fucking around and becoming their financial peer. And then you're mad about it.
Resentment.
That's
you
what
resent
Kim,
so
that's
much.
Why if indeed the allegation is true,
yeah.
and Kim did punch him,
mm-hmm.
that's what that punch was about.
Yes.
It was about you were supposed to be the breadwinner.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be the rich one. I was supposed to have married the pro athlete that was going to take care of me. And now here we are selling my wigs and Birkins.
And
I'm mad about it.
And it's nobody's fault but their own.
Oh, it's
because
nobody's
just
fault.
Just like you said earlier,
yeah.
this speaks directly into the mediocrity of it all. This speaks
hashtag
directly into
yep.
the laziness of it all.
Absolutely.
The entitlement of it all.
The lack of foresight of it all.
My God. Ebony, I'm telling you right now, if I get rich, I'm going to be rich for the rest of my life.
That part. I have no doubt. And it's going to be a win you get rich,
win.
By the way.
I'm going to be rich for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot, it just.
Well, particularly these people that make the money with these fleeting skill sets. I mean, let's talk about that, too.
Now, what can Kim do?
Well, that's the problem is your wealth was based off of a moment in time in history.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be very honest about it. You don't mm-hmm. have any actual skill set. You cannot sing, as been proven,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot act.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a skill set. You had what you and Nene together actually created, which was really magic for a moment.
Thank you.
And what we have seen, and trust me, I know about this better than most, I have firsthand experience, is that cultural moment of women acting badly at their big ages has really overstayed its welcome.
Mm-hmm.
The ratings reflect that.
Yep.
Look at Atlanta Housewives ratings. And I think that's a good cast.
It is.
Not about the cast.
Almost, but it is.
I mean, you know, it's
a relatively good cast. Yes.
There's been much worse cast with better ratings.
Yep.
That's what we do
Absolutely,
know.
Ebony.
Let's just say that plainly.
Absolutely.
So it's not just it's the cast. It is the fact that, and nobody wants to admit this, but I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that formulation of, you know, antic-based, spectacle-based
mm-hmm.
women
mm-hmm.
at their big 40-plus, 50-plus, 60-plus in some franchise
mm-hmm.
ages
mm-hmm.
acting a shitty mess and being messy and gossipy with one another and their husbands and their marriages had its moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very big, long moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was over 10 years of a moment.
It was an enjoyable moment.
It was a culture-changing phenomenal moment.
For sure.
That many among us, myself at the top of the line, enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And impacted.
Continue to.
And yeah. It, you know, we continue to, who gonna check me boo?
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff will live in infamy forever.
Yeah.
But the sad reality for some is that the moment has come and the moment is waning. And for some of you, the moment is absolutely gone. Okay, and I know that's a hard pill to swallow because you now have to suffer the bitter truth of what we were talking about on the previous week's episode.
Yeah.
You lacked a skill set in the first place.
Yep.
Okay, so I was reading this thing to your point of getting rich and staying rich forever. I have no doubt that's going to be the case for you, and I know for damn sure it's going to be the case with myself.
Come on.
But in the instance that it would not be, just because anything could happen,
mm-hmm.
theoretically,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I heard an interview with Mark Cuban where he talked about what if he lost everything. And he said, and I actually believed him, and I do believe him. He said, well, it would suck like ass, but I'm not overly worried because the same skill set, he says, I am a salesman. And no, until God takes my ability to sell away from me, just like I made that first billion, I'll make it again. And in that case, it's true. You know, so when you have a skill set, you're not worried in the same way. Now let's go to Croy's dumbass. So you made your wealth, like many in your industry, off of your athleticism.
And that's a wonderful thing. And God bless all the people gifted with athletic ability. But what you have to know, much like a model, much like, you know, other traits, that is a depreciable skill set on its face.
Yep.
But Father Time waits for no man, woman, or they. Okay? So therefore, Croy, you knew at some point your earning ability would deteriorate like all other professional athletes.
Yep.
That's why they're talking about LeBron right now.
Yep.
You know? So your inability to be long-sighted around what additional skill set are you acquiring, and this is where, for all of her problematic, many, many, many behaviors, the one thing I really have to respect about Tyra Banks is that this was a woman who understood this face and this body got a shelf life.
Yep.
And so, therefore, if I want to have the kind of wealth and lifestyle and in cultural impact that I really want to have for duration, I have to develop an additional skill set.
Candy Burris.
Oh, my God. Candy is
Candy Burris is a Tucker.
Case in point.
Come on. Already, you know, saw success as an artist. Flip that, dribble that ball right into long-term success.
And has done it a few times.
Many
avenues.
You look
at Candy, right. I mean, you saw it with the Candy Coated Nights. Content.
Yep.
Then she turned that into a commercial product.
Yes, she did.
And now she is literally one of the most preeminent producers of Broadway content of a generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it goes back to skills, y'all. So because Kim and Croy had depreciating skills.
Mm-hmm.
They find themselves in this white mess.
That's what this is.
This is a white mess. Now, and then I'm going to say this and we're going to move on from these two. Let's talk about the fact that they are cohabitating. Now, Croy is saying, I'm here because I can't afford to be anywhere else. And I believe that to be true. But I was talking to a friend of mine. He's getting a divorce. Or he claims. Anyway. Just be telling too much truth out here, but you know how motherfuckers be talking. Sure.
Talking that shit.
Yeah, you've been getting divorced for 2 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyways, go give me some Skittles.
Okay.
claim he getting a divorce. But and so I'm like, well, why don't you move out or why don't you do this? Because he's just my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he made a good point, actually, that his lawyer brought up to him. I said, nah, it's been a while since I practiced family law. That's a good point. And I want to put it on the show for jurors to listen to. He, she, or they who voluntarily leaves the house does do something to their legal right of residence when it comes time for that equitable distribution of the marital property.
Yeah.
Said another way, if you pack your shit up and you leave that house willingly, the judge is more likely to presume that you can be all right without that house because you've shown that you've availed yourself away from the premises, and if there is a property dispute over rights to that particular marital home, the person that's in the house likely prevails.
Yep. That makes perfect sense.
Hence the War of the Roses. Mm-hmm. If you're of a certain age,
you remember that film,
which was, I watch it from time to time just to remember the stakes.
For real.
Okay.
For real.
Because that was the whole point. And they were both, you know, they were rich.
Yep.
So it wasn't a, we can't leave. Sometimes that's a choice, Dustin.
Yeah.
Like, nah, you leave. And sometimes that works, but sometimes it led to death in War of the Roses. And right now with Kim and Croy, we're seeing alleged punches and abuse. So sometimes that house isn't worth it, is what I would offer that. Sometimes that house is simply not worth it. And you need to figure out where you can lay your head, whether it's your mama house, your friend's house, your grown ass children's house. You know, until you can figure that thing out, because the property will come and go. Your health, your well-being, that's a finite thing. So that's all I got to say about them.
That's that. That's definitely all I have to say about them. Good. God bless. Godspeed. I hope they figure it all out. You know what I'm saying? But
do you think everybody's speculating? You think Kim is going to be back on Atlanta Housewives?
I think that's just such a lazy solution to all of this. I don't care. You know what she needs to do? Take her ass to Zeus. Because Zeus is going to show all this shit. Mm-hmm. Zeus is going to show her and Croy fighting in that house.
Totally.
Zeus is going to show what's really going on. Mm-hmm. So
they're going to have that night cam.
They're going to have all of that. While I love the idea, you know what I'm saying, of her returning to the house. Take that shit to Zeus so we can see what's really going on over
there
in Milton, Georgia.
And then she could probably get a better cut.
That's it.
She, you know, you'll be an executive producer and do some real content.
Do your thing. That's where that's to me. That's alignment. You know, she's perfect.
Well, brand wise,
she's a perfect fit for Zeus. Take that to Zeus. They need the diversity anyway.
Some of y'all understood exactly what he just said.
That's right.
And some of you didn't.
And shout out to Zeus.
Shout out to Zeus. This man in Spain. So this is in the country of Espanol.
Okay.
Over in Europe. A Spanish woman by the name of Ivana Moral.
Mm-hmm.
She's now going to get $215,000. And she's going to get it in payments so she can manage it.
Okay.
Which I like. Some people need a payment plan.
That's right.
She's getting a monthly payment of about $528 for a very long time. And this is going to be her divorce settlement, D, from her divorce from 2020. We're getting this from iNews in a Spanish language paper, El País. A judge in Spain based the amount on what would have been the minimum monthly wage, which is, again, that's how he got that $528 number,
mm-hmm.
for her 25 years of service within her marriage. Now, someone would say, yeah, what kind of service? Well, Miss Morrell says she was doing all the work of the house and the home. She says that she was taking care of her two children. She's also got a separate child support payment coming, but I want to focus on the spousal support.
Right.
Of course, her husband will appeal, but in the meantime, she's going to get that $528. And she says that she exclusively handled the couple's housework during the marriage. Quote, her exclusive dedication to the home and family while her ex-husband accumulated and exponentially increased his assets. And that's the good old-fashioned, old-school argument, right? That while I put my career on hold for whatever reasons, whatever wealth-building mechanism I could have executed during the marriage, I forewent that mm-hmm. in lieu of supporting this man to go out into the world, and he's building assets and he's building wealth. And in her case, a rookie mistake on her part. It's unfortunate, but people do this. All the assets are in his name.
We just got through talking about this. Yep.
You know, he
Where's built, Miranda when you need her?
Where's
right?
Miranda when you need her? Where's Miranda Hobbs?
Where's Miranda to read you your rights? These are real Miranda rights.
These are the Miranda
need.
Rights.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Do you understand? Nod yes and say,
okay.
I need an affirmative.
That's right.
Okay. He's building gym businesses. He's living this affluent life. All of the property y'all have acquired as a couple are in his name only. And see, depending on where you are in the world, you know, this is a holding court goes global.
Yes, it does. Okay.
Where you are in the world, everywhere in the world does not subscribe to some of these domestic presumptions. We presume community property. So although maybe he made the money, certain jurisdictions here in America will automatically presume you to be a 50% partner in that and will automatically give you half of that based off of presumptions of marital community. Mm. What we do know, Dustin, is not every state in America even identifies and respects community property arguments.
No, it's state by state.
So we know once we hop across that pond,
yep.
It's a whole different scenario. So again, this is why Dustin ends the show, y'all. Every episode, we read your terms and conditions. Understand the consequences, the legal consequences of what happens when my marital spouse, and this is gender neutral, this is a she, he, or they situation.
Mm-hmm.
When that individual, whoever they may be, elects to put all marital assets in a singular name, that can have a dire consequence, which is why this judge says, I'm gonna run the math to say you get. And first of all, the fact that the judge only awards her minimum wage, I think is telling, right? It's not great.
I don't, especially not for the kind of labor that she says she was doing. You shouldn't be getting minimum wage. And you got to live with the motherfucker on top of that.
Right.
It's one thing if you just at work.
Correct. You know, and also your hours. What kind of hours are we talking about?
I'm 24.
That's it.
A 24-hour shift.
That's it.
And guess how often you work in it? 7 days a week.
7 days a week, 365.
So come on now.
So to me, actually, people were saying, you know, oh my God, that's amazing. That ain't shit.
I thought it was low.
I thought it's giving very low ball.
I did the math, and then I kept reading and saw how y'all had already did the math for it. So I was like, well, damn, that's how much it was.
Yeah,
I knew it wasn't shit.
It wasn't shit. She goes on to say, this was an abuse to be completely excluded financially by my ex-husband with nothing left after my marriage ended. So me and my daughters are left with nothing after all these years of putting all my time, energy, and love in the family.
That's sad, but it worked out.
I'm glad she's getting something, but again, I think the number is really low. She says, I was supporting my husband in his work and in the family as a mother and a father. I was never allowed to access his financial affairs. Everything was in his name. You know, again, this is an old story.
People are getting sick of the bullshit, though. You know what I mean? They're not just walking away from these relationships anymore. Like, people are now, they're not allowing the more wealthy person to just leave, you know.
And play in their face.
Scot-free.
Yeah.
Okay? And play in their damn face.
That's it.
People are speaking up now. This feels a little bit different than the other case we talked about with Tiger Woods, right? This is
indeed
different.
This is
woman
very different.
Deserves this. This is for all her years and fears and her tears. Okay,
and she was actually legally married, not for nothing.
Big, well,
that's a huge
big
factual
difference.
In the court of law. You're legally married. You have two children with this man. That's also different, right? Tiger Woods was Tiger Woods when you met him, Erica, sis. Okay, so he was not wealth. Now, his wealth might have increased during your relationship, and that's all you're going to have privy to.
And it had nothing to do with you. He was already up.
Correct. This is different with this young lady in Spain. This man was Joe Schmo. Who? And then because of her commitment to the house and home, I'm sure her making meals, making them comfortable, folding them sheets and shit, fluffing them pillows. You're able to go out into the world, sir, and build this lucrative gym business. So there is a presumed partnership. See, this is the Bezos of it all. You know, anybody that was in their feelings about McKinsey getting all that money.
Right.
Don't,
because she earned that.
She earned every cent. That was a collaborative effort. Amazon was born in their garage. And you can't, even Jeff, by his own admission, talks about the importance of McKinsey. You mean to tell me, you know, McKinsey was mentored by Toni Morrison at Princeton.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be fucking with McKinsey on the low. I mean, it's not really on the low at all. It's very high key.
I didn't know that at
all. Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's why she gives a lot of money. When she first got that settlement, she gave a ton of money to HBCUs. She gives a ton of money to, I mean, she gives a ton of money to everything. I mean, that's what you get to do when you got about $600 billion.
When you got a ton of money to be given.
That's
okay?
It. But she makes it her business, Dustin, to give a ton of money to Black-centric spaces due to her, unfortunately, unique consciousness of Black need and Black contribution to this world. Dude, when you're mentored by the Toni Morrison.
Come on.
On the campus of Princeton University.
Come on.
You know a little bit about the good news.
About what?
Being Black in America.
That's right.
So I love that McKinsey got every motherfucking dime. And she deserved it. And again, this Princeton educated woman, you think she had nothing to do with the foundational development of Amazon as we know it?
Good luck with that.
That's it. She.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, that's.
You are crazy.
I
am. But you're right.
I am crazy.
You're
that's
100%
true.
Right, though. Like, that is literally the long and short of it.
Emphasis on the long.
The money.
Okay. Run me my money. So, yeah, I love it. I'm very glad for this woman. If anything, I think that the dollar amount is low. And again, ladies, gentlemen, and non-binary individuals. I'm not saying it's anything wrong with being a house husband, partner, whatever. You might want to get your paperwork in order to say that this is an agreed upon, emphasis on agreed upon contribution of equal value, emphasis on equal value. And in the case of dissolution of this, you get this, I get this. That is the whole point of a prenup.
Simplify everything.
That's it. Because everybody's not going to keep it player. Everybody does not read from the good book of Dustin Ross.
They don't. And that's why you need to have these protections in place.
That's it. And you can't depend on a judge to be in your family. You know, this woman in Spain got a favorable ruling from this particular judge. Imagine if she run up on a judge who felt like he or she or they got taken advantage of in their own divorce. It was like, fuck you, bitch. You ain't getting shit. Could have easily happened.
Very easily happened. People have strong, as they should, feelings attached to that experience.
That's it.
somebody taking, you know, in their from their POV, taking your shit, mm-hmm. what you've earned or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a bitterness that lives there, and a vitriol
and
that
a vitriol
never goes away,
and a resentment, mm-hmm. and a need to take that out yeah. on other people. So you know, judge's discretion is a delicate thing. So you know, but for this particular judge's discretion to even give her that 215, and again, 215 over 20 years ain't really shit.
Yeah.
So y'all gonna learn one day. Get your paperwork in order.
And keep it that way.
And refresh them papers.
As you refresh that relationship, because things change.
Yeah, I mean, look at some of y'all's favorite reality stars. I'm gonna leave it right there.
Did you really say that?
You know I did. And again, people better be so glad I say less than what I know.
Ooh, you know I love it when this side, because it's capital E.
That's
right
it.
Here. I like
and
it.
And I don't really be showing that side too much.
I like it when capital E jump out a little bit.
But okay. you know she in there.
That's right.
All right. So I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay.
With the capital E this
time. Really nowhere else for it to go, because that just is what it is, what you just said. And those that know, know.
No.
All right.
If you know, you definitely know. Y'all join us again. That's going to be the dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get my gavel up in this
You need
moment.
A gavel.
That's the dismissal for this week's session.
That's right.
In the meantime, stay safe. Keep the faith. And this is a real good one for this week's show.
If there ever was a week for you to put your pupils on them terms and conditions, this is it. Read your terms and conditions, please.
The pupil and the iris.
Okay, and the iris, because that's a very important part, okay? You need the totality of the eye.
You need the totality of the optics on this
one. On your terms and conditions, okay?
All right, there y'all go. Enough good legal info for y'all to chew on, whether you're single, engaged, married, divorced, or other. One other thing. Get familiar with good lawyers, okay? Because you never know when you're going to need one. And whether you're thinking about, you know, somebody else joining your life or anything like that, it's always good to have a really good attorney a phone call away. All right, y'all, in the meantime, stay safe, keep the faith, put your sunscreen on, it's still summer outside. And in the famous words of Dustin Ross, read your terms and conditions.
Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead, Samira Still.